Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you, and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
People have told stories of the strange and supernatural for centuries. Tales of the restless dead return to haunt the living. Whispers of damned souls doing the devil's bidding on earth. Rumors of inhuman things that still hunt the old forests, untouched by the glare of modern life. There may be more to these stories than you could ever imagine. Join us tonight as we delve into the deeper truth inside these mysteries.
Fuck's sake. Do you know what? Fuck it. Let's go in with the laughing. Welcome to Bizarre Tales. Welcome back. It's, well, fucking hell, how long's it been, Lee?
Years.
See, it feels like years. It's been at least a month. And this
We did a live show.
Yeah, that was about 3 weeks, four weeks ago.
Stop doing that clicking thing, I know.
I would, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite annoying.
But welcome back.
It's annoying me.
Yeah, welcome back. We've got no housekeeping today because none of you have left a review. No one's sent us any messages.
Someone did say my cock left a little too much headroom.
Yeah, not on the podcast I'm on about.
Not
your Grindr profile.
It was just Grindr.
Yeah. I'm on about actual podcast reviews.
Yeah, but no, apart from that. But I did run into Goatman.
You did?
I did.
Well,
What?
You didn't run into it. Well, making it sound like you walked down the street and Mr. Tumnus was in front of you. It was a...
Mr. Thomas.
Tumnus. Yeah.
What?
I can't believe you've never seen Chronicles of Narnia.
Is that the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
I've seen... What? No.
You've not seen it?
Yeah, I know it.
The little goat man in there. It's called Mr. Tumnus.
I can't remember.
What about William Shakespeare?
Who?
Midsummer Night's Dream.
He don't exist.
He does, well, I don't think.
There was a William Shakespeare in Staffordshire, wasn't there?
There was.
He couldn't even spell his own name.
Yeah, I think it was more Bradley of a persona
yeah.
than an actual...
It's what they use now. It's this... They have... it's an implement to get the message across. So it's a state... You know what I mean?
It's a propaganda.
Yeah, it's a propaganda machine. Hmm. And it's given a name and, you know...
A Tudor propaganda.
No one
has
to know who it was. But you think about all the things he knew too much.
Mm.
To be one...
Well, you watch Midsummer Night's Dream and all the fairy creatures that he talks about. And
I haven't watched it. Is there a film on that?
There might be. There might be a film on it. If not, get yourself down
to
the theatre.
I can't read. I'm dyslexic.
Go to the theatre.
Huh?
Go to the theatre.
Oh, yeah. What, with them little binoculars, what people sit there going...
You sit near
if
the
you
front.
Have to fucking pay, right, and then purchase binoculars to see something, it's not fucking worth it, is it?
No, I suppose not.
Wait for the film.
I'm not sure if there is a film.
Well, there should be.
There might be.
And when was that Midsummer's thingy out then?
Midsummer Night's Dream.
When was it written?
It would have been written in the 1500s.
And there's no film.
I don't know. I've never seen a film. There must be.
There's a bit of a delay there between the book and the film.
There must be. There must be recreations of all of Shakespeare's books as films.
I would say so.
Romeo and Juliet's been done. It's been done as gnomes.
Gnomeo and Juliet. Ozzy Osbourne was in that one.
He played the deer.
Deer or something, yeah. I remember, the kids had it on, and I was like, oh, fuck it. And I was like, that's fucking Ozzy. What are they watching? You know, he needs to turn it off quick. But no, it was the gnome thing.
Gnomeo and Juliet. Yeah, he's also in the new one. It's Sherlock Gnomes.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
But,
wow. If you couldn't guess, I have children.
Yeah. I did get caught short this week.
You're going to have to elaborate.
Yeah, I thought I'd mention this because I wondered if it had happened to anybody else. But so I get in and I'm like, right, I'm going to order a kebab, yeah?
Mm.
This is like a nightly thing. But
And to Americans, it's not the kebabs you think because...
Yeah, they're better.
Yankees do weird kebabs.
Yeah?
Yeah. For starters, they call them kebabs.
Kebabs?
Yeah.
Right?
but yeah, no, theirs are all like barbecued on a skewer and
well, let's
like
say
that.
Pizza then.
Yeah.
That's universal.
Yeah.
Apart from we have ours with chips. Fries.
No, chips.
If you don't have pizza with chips, then there's something wrong.
Yeah.
In there. Half a pizza, chips and coleslaw. Pizza platter. Right?
Yeah.
Take that to the bank. That's the way forward. Anyway, what was I saying? You interrupted me again.
Sorry. You got caught short.
That's right. I did. So, I came in, put a load of washing on. So, I rung the order through. And they always say, like, it'd be about 45 minutes, whatever. So I put a load of washing in, and I thought, I need a shit, right? So I'm going to have a quick shit before the fucking... I got 45 minutes. I've got loads of time, right? So I've chucked the load in, the washing machine, just about to run into the bathroom for the toilet, and then noticed that I haven't put the liquid in the machine. You know them stupid things you've got to put inside the washing machine?
The aerial pods, yeah.
Right? So you can't just open the drawer now and put the... So I have to turn the washer off, wait for the door, because it's got a 15-second mechanism, hasn't it? So
yeah, because otherwise you
child
open it
can't
and
crawl in.
Well, I think it's more the fact that water will go everywhere.
Well, that as well,
it.
Yeah. But so I had to wait for that to open, piss about with that. I had to turn it off at the wall. Eventually it opened. I put the stuff in, shut that up. I thought, oh, I still need that crap. So I jumped on the toilet, literally just released me bowels. Ding dong! I'm like, oh no, this can't be happening. So I'm like, what do you do now? So I was like, well, you know what I did? I just chucked some roll up there temporarily, run to the door, sucked the thing off. I was like really rude because I was like, yeah, there's your money, fuck it off. Shut the door on him and he's like, what the fuck? And he's like, Merry Christmas, yeah, fuck off. And then run back to the toilet and I was like, I got to have a shower now. Because it's not just good enough now, is it?
No, you can't stop. You know? You have to get in the shower now.
So then I had to have a shower. So then, like, got out and my pizza was cold or my kebab was cold. And it was like, it just ruined my day.
Yeah. I must admit, I
ain't got over it.
They do say that
ago.
The doorbell goes at the worst time.
Absolutely it did. Well, that was the washing machine's fault, wasn't it? Anyway, today I'm talking about...
Yeah, this is completely irrelevant to the story.
I'm going to talk about the goat man, obviously. I'll mention that at the end because it's quite interesting. Well... Interesting. So some people find it interesting. But anyway, it happened and they are real. So there you go. Mm. Take it from me. So I'll go into this first, though. So I want to go into Cisco Grove UFO case, right? And I was looking into another UFO case, but the Whatcast covered it.
Yeah. Does seem to be that that happens quite regularly, doesn't it?
Like we rarely.
You speak to Matteo and Jerry and that from other podcasts. And I'm thinking of doing this, and you go, yeah, I did that last week.
You're it's like the zeitgeist, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if I was to do it now, like I was copying them. But anyway,
so we have to do in a few weeks when we're not copying them.
Yeah. So another one that came across, I run across as I was looking into that, was this one. So I thought, well, I'll do this one first, and then the Whatcast can copy me.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. Actually, Matteo did bring up some good points. Anyway, the point we'll get into that. So, right. So this is September 4th, 1964. And a 28-year-old man by the name of Donald Schroom, right, and a group of friends who were Vincent Alvarez and Tim Trueblood went out bow hunting in the Cisco. Well, it's the Tahoe National Forest, but this particular part of it was Cisco Grove in place of California. Okay, so the three men went out hunting as they would, and during the hunt became separated. But this wasn't an unusual thing. You know, all the men here were avid hunters, avid outdoorsmen, yeah? They could handle themselves and all the rest of it. So this was no worry. So they spent the remaining time hunting, and obviously then it started to go dark, right? Dust starts to fall. So obviously at that point, you're going to try and make your way back to base camp, okay? And that's what Donald did. He tried to find his way back, but he just couldn't seem to track where he'd come from. Again, he's not worried or anything because he knows he can survive the night there, and you know he knows what he's doing. So it's not a major issue, but obviously he does try and get back before nightfall. It was interrupted though because he heard a sound of a large animal coming through the undergrowth. At that point, he was thinking maybe I don't know it's some sort of predator animal that's closing in on him. So he took to climbing a tree. Now, he had on his person a military belt, all right?
Right.
And I don't know if these military belts are extra long, and I presume they are. Do you remember like...
Yeah, they're normally like survival ones.
Them cloth ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I take this to be, because he was able to wrap this around the tree and hold it and then shimmy up the tree.
Okay.
All right. So he used this belt to get up the tree. And then he waited up there for quite a while because this thing was moving around, this animal, which he never saw, was moving around in the bushes around him. And he knew it was large, and he knew it was circling him in a way that he knew that it knew he was there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he knew something was
but
there.
But it never materialized. It never showed itself. So eventually he came down the tree, but light was fading fast now. And at this point he realized that he probably didn't have enough time to get back to base camp.
Okay.
All right, so he set about making some signal fires. So a series of little fires just so they could light them when it got dark. And then the other lads, if they remained together, obviously they might come back out looking for him.
Yeah.
So the idea was he lights these signal fires and the two guys would be able to hone in on him and rescue him.
Yeah, find him.
So that was his plan. A decent enough plan. So he lights the fires, climbs back up the tree for safekeeping, and he harnesses himself with that said belt to the tree so he doesn't fall out if he falls asleep.
Round the waist, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Round the neck would be a bit stupid. Yeah.
So anyway, he climbs up the tree. This tree, incidentally, is about 30 foot tall, so it's a decent sized tree, and he's quite a ways up, you imagine, before it gets too thin, but he's near enough at the top of the tree.
I'm picturing the Hunger Games. Have you ever seen The Hunger
Games? No, I was going to watch it the other night and never got round to it.
Yeah, there's a part in the first Hunger Games where she does tie herself to a tree.
She's quite nice, isn't she?
Yeah, she's not bad.
She gets her boobs out in it.
No, she doesn't get her boobs out in anything.
That's why I haven't watched it then. But anyway, so what was I saying before you interrupted me again?
I don't know, sorry.
Let me have a sip of this. Medicinal. Right, so he's up the tree. Night's falling. Okay. In the distance, he sees a light coming towards him through the canyon. And obviously, at this point, he's thinking, this is a search party.
Yep.
The problem is, it is zigzagging through the forest, but it's not undulating. You know, like if someone's walking with a torch.
It's a nice word.
Yeah. That's what cows have, innit?
No.
So anyway.
You've ruined it. You had yourself sound so clever, and now you've ruined it.
I ain't clever. I'm dyslexical. Anyway, so he sees this light, and it's not bobbing up and down, which you would expect if it was a headlamp or something of that nature. You'd expect it to be bobbing up and down, which, you know, is unusual. But then he thinks, well, it might be a helicopter flying above the tree, the canopy, which would make sense. He can't hear any noise, which is unusual, because obviously it's down the canopy. But he lights a flare. He has a flare on him. And he starts waving the flare about, you know, to try and track the attention of this helicopter. And he does. This craft changes its course and starts making a beeline for him. All right, it's at this point when he realises there's no noise. And it's close enough now, if it was an helicopter, you would be hearing noise.
Okay.
He also sees that this is an unusual shape. It's more like a cigar sort of shape. And as it comes quite close to him, it seems to drop to... It has, so you can imagine this is dark, right? This thing's not necessarily illuminated, but you can see it against the moonlight's lighting up. You can see that it's metallic, and you can see that it's cigar-shaped. And it seems to have struts coming out of it with other objects attached to it. Yeah. Either attached to
have
it
Have you seen
or
Goldmember?
Goldmember?
Austin Powers' Goldmember. He has a rocket in the shape of a willy.
Yeah, well, it's like that.
Yeah, that's just,
yeah. No, it's not like that, because it's these things alongside it. But he
well,
can't...
I talked to a kid then, I said, Willy. Like a fucking child.
As it's approaching him, he's not quite sure whether these things are attached to it or just flying next to it, okay? But again, one of them drops to the ground.
Okay.
Which is unusual. He gets a little bit worried now, right? He turns... Remember, he's up the tree, so he's sort of in the canopy, and he looks to his right, and he sees another craft, the dome-shaped craft. This is possibly the thing that dropped to the ground. So he sees his second craft, and it's a dome-shaped craft, and it's only about 1,500 feet away from him, so fairly close. And again, this is quite alarming, as you can imagine. And he's just... wondering what to do, and it's about this point when he hears rustling coming from the bushes, not immediately below him, but if you imagine this tree setting like a little bit of a clearing, hence why he put the fires there. So just a little bit away through this clearing, he hears rustling coming from the bush ahead of him. Now, he obviously had this earlier on, and he's thinking that it could be this animal coming back, but out from this clearing to the edge of the clearing comes this humanoid figure. About 4 to 5 foot tall, and it's dressed in a silver suit, which goes from feet all the way up to a hood, all right? And it has ruffles, what he describes as ruffles, on the elbows, on the shoulders. So it's almost like it's made to move, flexing those areas, right? So it's, you know, this thing is humanoid, to all intents and purposes, it looks, you know, like us. The other thing, obviously, with it being dark, and you can only see through the moonlight, and the silver suit was reflecting most of the moonlight anyway, but he was able to make out that it did seem to be wearing some sort of respirator or some form of mouthpiece, and its eyes were sticking out, bulging out almost, and he likened that to welding goggles, right? That could have been the creature's eyes, it could have been a helmet of some description that it was wearing underneath this hood, this silver hood. The thing seemed to be more interested in the flora. You know, it was looking at the different types of leaves. It was examining things like that. It was examining the floor, and it seemed to notice the smouldering remnants of the fire and walk over to that. And as it started walking over to him, this across the clearing, another one of these creatures came out from the woodline. And also made a beeline for the tree. When they got to the tree, they recognised he was there. Again, whether he made a noise or, you know, alerted them to the fact, or whether they just knew he was there for when they got close enough, I don't know. He didn't know. But what he does know is that they both looked at him. So they've seen him, and now he's a little bit really worried, okay?
Hmm.
They went to the base of the tree, and both of them, he said, they're almost trying to climb the tree now. So these two figures, and like I say, with the suits, everything was covered, so even the hands were covered in gloves, and he said they had extremely long fingers, right? And they was trying to work out how to climb the tree, but they didn't seem to have an idea of the first thing about how you climb a tree.
Not normal, is it?
So they both had a go.
I can't climb trees.
No. At some point, they sort of took a step back, and he thought, well, maybe they'll give up, right? And they made what do you call it? Is it a cooing noise? You know, the noise that owls make, right?
A hoot.
Like a hooting noise to each other. Well, he seemed to think they was talking to each other, but out of the opposite side of the clearing came this other humanoid-looking being. But this time it was almost twice as big as it was about 7 foot tall. You know, it was fairly big. And it was basically a robot, to all intents and purposes. So it was a similar sort of build to them. So, you know, a stocky human sort of build. No discernible neck. A big square head with a really lower mandible, right?
Sounds like Simon.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, it sounds like, if you imagine a Bigfoot without hair on, that's what it looks like. That sort of shape. Hmm. So maybe. Anyway, I digress.
It's tall.
So it comes across, and it was almost ordered by these two creatures. And this robot, and this had, same again, big balding glowing eyes this time, though. Red eyes, yeah? And it walks across to the tree, and it looks up at him, and it emits this cloud of vapour. Right? And as soon as it hits Donald in the tree, he becomes nauseous, and then he passes out. Again, he doesn't know how long went past here, right? Since he passes out, he doesn't know how long went by. But when he awakes, these things still stood at the bottom of the tree. The other two creatures are slightly stood back. And they're looking at him. So he's like, what the fuck? So at this point, he's like, right, at this point, it's almost attacked him. Right? In his head. This is war, yeah?
Yeah.
So he's got his bow with him, and he's still got three arrows in his quiver. That's all he had left after hunting all day. So he takes an arrow, draws it, and fires it at this thing's still at the base of the tree, so he fires it, and it hits it and creates sparks, right? So it's kind of metal on metal. And it sort of stumbles back a little bit, but then after a few seconds, it comes back to the tree, and it opens its mouth, and it emits another cloud of vapour, right? And he goes again. Now, luckily, he fastened himself onto the tree with that belt, otherwise he'd be down, right? So again, he wakes up. This thing's still there. He gets another arrow, fires it again. And again, it staggers back. And he takes his last arrow and fires it again. And it staggers back again. But again, it doesn't seem to do any, apart from the sparks coming off it, it doesn't seem to do any lasting damage.
That seems like the most pointless thing ever. Like, you shot it once, it didn't work.
You could have hit it in a better place, though. I would have shot the other ones. Because they seem more, at this point, they seem more fleshy. This clearly looks like a robot. And he describes it as looking like, you know, the archetypal 1950s sci-fi robot? You know, the clunky sort of, that's exactly what this thing looked like. I'll show you a picture of it soon. And he describes it as that. And it was clearly a robot of some description, an automaton, right? So I'd have probably shot one of those other things.
Yeah.
Incidentally, when he shot the first arrow and this thing struck this thing, the UFO that was just over the distance there, the ridgeline, it shot back immediately, and so did the other two little figures. They shot back. So all three of those things shot back as if to say, what the hell? And they just, like, instantly, they had gone from being under the tree to being 15 feet inside the woodline. Boom, gone. Or, you know, where the edge
like
of the woodline was.
Mechanism.
Yeah, and the UFO did the same thing as well, and he saw that. You know? But it's almost like the UFO I saw was, I think the UFO I saw was conscious. And this, to me, some sort of conscious link between the beings on the ground and that craft. For it to do it instantaneously like that, as they did it. Right? Just saying.
Okay.
So it comes back to the tree, emits another cloud of vapour. He passes out again. Anyway, he comes round this second, the third time, whatever it is now, and he's run out of things to do. I mean, even through his canteen, he had a canteen with him. He threw that. He even threw his bow at it, and then he had a bit of a brainwave. He thought fire, right? Mm-hmm. Wild animals don't like fire, so he takes his cap off, and his hair was all greased up with the oil of the day. You know that, the like Brill cream and that. So this hat, so he lit it and it just went up. Right. So he just threw that at this creature, and this creature did back up from that, and it was puzzled by this fire, right? And it spent a lot of time looking at it. But again, after the fire went out, the creature approached the tree again. So he ended up lighting like everything, apart from his underpants, basically. And his trousers, to some extent, he lit everything else. Even through, he had like pocket change in his pocket. He threw that at it. Mm. He lit his top. He lit his coat. Set them on fire and chucked it just to try and get this thing to back off. So you can imagine now what sort of state he was in. Medicinal again.
Medicinal. It's fucking hot chocolate.
A little whiskey. So anyway,
there's a good whiskey in there.
Yeah, Irish. Runs out of things to throw at this thing, yeah?
Mm.
And it emits another cloud of vapour. Again, like I say, if he wasn't attached to the tree, he would have fell out by now. So, it comes around, and it's beginning to become dawn this time when he comes around. So this ordeal's gone on all night. He looks down, he thinks, well, it's turning daylight, I'm saved by the daylight sort of thing. Well, he looks down, and at the base of the tree, the creature's still there, or this being's still there. The other thing seems more like creatures. This thing seems more like a robot, so I think that's what we'll call it. It is robot.
Mm.
And that's when you notice another being coming from the brush, and it was another robot. Anyway, these two spoke to each other in like this chirping noise again, and they came over to each other and they stood facing each other, and then he said like an arc of energy or electricity sparked between the two creatures. From the chest area. So they stood, you know, a few feet apart. This energy starts, you know, going between them, and then it forms like a ball of energy in the middle, like an orb of energy. And he's thinking, wow, this is it. You know what I mean? It's going to go bang, isn't it? With that, this vapour started animating from this ball of energy, right?
Okay.
And he passes out again. When he come round this time, everything had gone. The beings are gone, the robots are gone, the craft are gone. So he makes his way down the tree, right? When he gets to the base of the tree, he's looking around and he's absolutely fucking terrified, right? He looks around and he sees this vapour coming up and he thinks, fuck, they're here still. Anyway, it turns out to be the old signal fire that he made. It was the remnants of that. And absolutely fucking that shits him up.
Mm.
He started making his way to base camp, and he was that drained and exhausted and probably cold, because this was, you know, September. And he'd been spent the night in a tree with no clothes on, essentially, because he launched all these creatures. He passed out a few times. He was sick as well, but he kept falling down. But eventually he did make it back to base camp, and his two friends were waiting for him there. They took, you know, a look at him and tried to nurse him back to health as best they could. And he explained the story to him. You know, he was frantic. And they believed him, right? Because they had seen a cigar-shaped craft themselves on that previous night, moving through the forest. So they went back to the area where it had happened, see if there was any sort of evidence left behind. Apart from the burnt clothes, the smouldering clothes that he'd thrown on the floor, and his canteen, his bow and that, which he picked up, and his arrows, by incidentally, picked them up as well. There was no signs of these creatures ever being there. No footprints, nothing. You know, where the craft had seemed to come down, they had a look there, and they couldn't find any indentations, anything to say that the craft had even landed there. It's almost like the scene had been cleaned up after them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which, again, is weird. But you don't know how much time's passed, you know. This is, he just kept passing out and waking up, so we don't know. But anyway, they went back, and he didn't tell anyone because he was a defense contractor for the military. He worked on missiles, right? So it's not good practice to start talking. I mean, obviously today, this is, we're talking about the '60s here. Today it's a little bit different because in fact, there are channels now where you have to report UFOs in America. In the UK, it's been fairly open for a long time where, it has been reported. We do have a desk for that sort of thing, channels for that. In America, they have literally now opened channels where you must tell them because they want to get to the bottom of what's going on. But this is the 60s, so it's slightly different. He didn't want to tell anybody, but he did tell family members, right? But the thing is, it was weighing on his conscience a little bit because he knew what he'd seen was important, right? And it could very well be important to the defense of America.
Yeah.
Right? The military might need to know about this. But he's conflicted because he's like, well, if I tell them, they're not going to believe me. And I lose my job. So he's got these two sort of emotions running around all the time. And his wife even said that he was basically a nervous wreck after this. He suffered from anxiety. He didn't before. I mean, he was a hunter and outdoorsman and all the rest of it. But he was terrible. He was like, anxiety. And I mean, I suffer from anxiety, so I know what that's like. But this come from this incident, as you can imagine. Because you remember, when he's up the tree, he doesn't know what's going to happen. He's defenseless after his bow's gone. We just don't know. So anyway, he told family members, and I think it was his mother-in-law, knew an astronomer, and she told him.
Right.
This astronomer thought this story needed investigating, and he told the, I think it was McKellen Air Force Base. He knew someone there, and he told them. They contacted Donald and asked him to meet them off base. There was a property development being built just within the vicinity, and they asked him to meet him at one of these houses, it's just being built, right? It's fully, it's fully built. It's ready for someone to buy, but it's not occupied yet. And they asked him to meet him there, so off base, which is fucking weird, isn't it? And they asked him to bring the arrows with him.
The ones that he fired?
Yeah, all three. So anyway, he gets there. They ask him loads of questions about the incident. Obviously, he tells them pretty much what I've just told you there. And they ask for the arrows. He gives them the arrows, and they take them with them. Because the arrows had struck this creature, this tin man, and they obviously, the arrowhead probably had shards of that metal on it, and that was going to be analysed. That was the plan. So they took the arrows off him and then basically told him that he'd been pranked. This was all a prank, some kids messing about in the woods. If anybody asks you, that's what happened, sort of thing. Which, is bullshit, isn't it? He knows it's bullshit, they know it's bullshit, but they don't want him telling anybody. So, for the next few years and that's what he does. He basically keeps it to himself, doesn't tell anybody else. Doesn't hear back from the military what they found on their arrows, don't get his arrows back, none of that shit. Later on, so this is years later, the story got about, and a couple of the MUFO guys, they got in touch with him and asked him to basically tell a story, and they put it in a book called Aliens of the Forest, and that's available to buy if anyone wanted to buy that. And that tells the full story of what happened, but that's the story in a nutshell, so to speak. I know it's more than that, but
It's your size nutshell.
Yeah, but it's interesting. You've got loads of different elements, haven't you, going on there?
Yeah.
You've got, organic sort of beings, although we didn't see too much of them. They did feel a bit more, less machine-like, let's say. And then you've got the machines. And they're controlled by these things, but they do these strange energy things. What was the vapor? Oh, yeah, that was another point. He actually went and got himself checked out because he was so nervous that vapour caused serious damage to him because he had no idea what it was. Other than it made him feel sick and it put him to sleep, he didn't know what the vapour was and he thought he might be suffering from cancers, tumours, whatever.
Could be anything, yeah.
So he did have himself checked out and he was fine. So whatever that vapour was, not life-threatening. So I suppose that's a bonus. Incidentally, I listened to Dave Pliatus. He's got, you know, most people know Misinformed One. He's actually got a YouTube channel. And he mentioned this case fairly recently. And he mentioned another guy who had been found who'd fallen out of a tree.
Yeah.
And he said, like, obviously, he obviously knew about this UFO case. So it was like, when he heard this, another guy that tied himself to the tree with a belt and, you know, and he felt maybe similar. Who knows? But this is a recent case, and this guy did die at the scene. They weren't sure if he died from falling from the tree. But, you know, that he died. So, yeah. Could be related, but, you know, if anyone hasn't checked that out, then go and check Dave's channel. I think it's under Canam on YouTube, something like that. But if you put Misinformed, if you put Canam, like Canada, America, I think that's what it stands for, something like that. But if you put that in Misinformed One, then you'll get his channel. And he does some really good, interesting stuff on factual news as well. With the wokes won't like. The locals won't like it because it's the facts.
I doubt we have very many.
No, we don't, but...
I genuinely... It's one thing I have always wondered with this podcast is how many do we have that are sort of...
Woke.
Yeah.
None.
No, I would think we'd have a lot lower score on iTunes if we had.
I don't think they've got time for listening to that. They're all making... No. Vegan
too
things.
Busy tying themselves to motorway things.
Creating vegan things. So, yeah, so that's that. So, you know, answer on a postcard what you think that is. And
I mean, maybe it was a prank.
So he seems...
seems a little bit too unlikely to be, but you never know, do you?
I mean, wouldn't it be best for the military just to say to him, look, we'd appreciate if you didn't tell people about this?
Well, they probably do. In America, it's a case of you don't say anything or we'll... can.
Yeah, but they don't say that, do they? They say, you didn't see that. Like when people see a Bigfoot or whatever, they come round, the so-called men in black, they come round and they say, they're not actually... The normal people that show up when people have seen Bigfoot and report is there's like a lumberjack guy character and then a guy in a suit. They're the two guys that normally turn up and lots of people reported that. One's good cop, one's bad cop. And they're basically, yeah, you'll say, like, if you don't fucking do what we tell you, we're going to fucking hurt you and that. And then the other one's like, we'll just deny that this ever happened, blah, blah, blah. And if you're going around telling this, we'll just tell people that you hit a bear or shot a bear or...
Yeah.
They're normally the cases where people have shot the creature and stuff like that, you know. Not generally just saw it crossing the road and not really interested in them. The more interesting if you've got close and personal with it. Which brings me on to the Goatman.
Yeah.
So, obviously where we live, there's been maybe 5, 6, 7 reports that we've taken of, and people call it Deer Man, Goat Man, and I can understand why, you know, because I'm going to do a show on it, or we're both going to do a show on it soon, because you get counts of Sheep Man, Deer Man, Goat Man, and they sound like three very distinct, different beings, don't they? But I can tell you now, from what I saw, you could easily describe that as a goat, a deer, or a sheep. I've never seen fear, and it was fear, I've never seen fear on a creature like this. This was out of this, well, I'm going to say out of this world, it makes it sound like an alien, but it was, which, I don't know, it could be, couldn't it? But it was unreal. Again, this happened, so again, we've took loads of reports here at home, but... What would you say Winchester is, about 350 miles, something like that?
From here?
No, from town.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be away, isn't it? About 300 miles. So I'm 300 miles away from where I've taken 7 reports, right? Not thinking about Goatman and all that shit. But I am driving through a wooded area, and it's an A road, so it's just two lanes, you know, oncoming traffic and you know, my lane. It's daylight. There's woods on either side of the road. I'm driving along, the road dips off into the wood. I mean, literally, you go from the tarmac straight into the woods, and it drops about 2 foot. And I see this object, and it's caught my eye because it was grey.
Right.
And obviously, if you imagine now, this time of year, you've got the orange leaves all on the ground, the brown, orange, that kind of colours. and this was grey, just sat there. And, you know, maybe initially I thought it was like a tarpaulin or a piece of plastic, yeah, or, you know, something that's blown to the side of the road, that kind of thing. But obviously as I've approached it, and again, I'm only doing 50 mile an hour on this road, that's the limit we're allowed to do, so that's what speed I was doing. And so I approached it fairly rapidly, and it moved. And I didn't see it move. I saw it move out me peripheral, but I didn't see it move, so I don't know what it did, right? All I know is that there's movement. And I think it probably hunkered down, is what it did. All right, so I think it was probably standing, and as it see me approaching, it dropped to all fours. Well, actually, it didn't drop to all fours. It actually dropped to, like, a crouching position. Again, you can't really describe it, because this thing, I would say, just crouched down as it was probably 4 to 5 foot tall in the crouch position. So if it stood up, it's 7 foot minimum, I would say. The legs on this thing were probably the hind legs, because the arms were very human-like, but the hind legs were probably that thick, probably, what's that, about a foot and a half across, at the thigh. And they tapered down to, like, a smaller calf. But, again, the calf was huge. You know, like, if you see a bison?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That's what I'm talking about, the legs on this thing.
So it's a cowman?
Yeah, it could be a cowman. But, you know, I don't think it had sticking out feet like a rabbit or a human. It probably had, like, hooves, I would say. So I didn't see any toes, you know what I mean? And it was big enough where I'm that close to it. But it's about 20 feet into the wood line. It's probably not even that, actually. It's probably about, it's probably about 15, 20 foot in the wood line. So it's, you know, fairly close. I didn't recognise feet on it. But the fur on this thing was, like I say, it was grey in patches and white. And it was that thick that if you grabbed it, you would have just grabbed handfuls of it.
For those who need translation, that's fur, not fear.
Fear, yeah.
Yeah, fur.
Yeah, it's fluffy, yeah?
Yeah.
But it wasn't hair, it was definitely fair, and it was really thick. This thing was built for the winter, right? There's no...
It's built for this country,
absolutely
then.
Absolutely zero issue with this country. It's going to live here quite happily, right? But again, why, you know, people say... Sometimes you see people talking about sheep, man. Now, the coat on this thing, yeah, absolutely. You know sheep's wool, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously. But this wasn't wool. It wasn't that. You know, like when you see a sheep, it's kind of curly and...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? This wasn't that. It was thick, fair. Again, I can't really describe it. You know, I can't say, look at that animal or look at this animal. That's what I'm talking about, because there isn't any other animal that has fair like this. The amount of this ridiculous, you know what I mean? Like I say, its upper arms were more human-like, and it was sort of crouched down in a position where you could see its thighs, and it's sort of got its front of its chest and its arms on its knees, almost. Like,
yeah,
in a cowering sort of position, but it wasn't cowering from me.
No.
But, moving on to its head now, so it was looking at me, and it had an oblong head. You know, like a deer... A deer head or a goat head, but the goat sort of tapers at the front, and deer does to some extent as well. And the snout, it sort of tapers off. This didn't seem to taper; it was just solid all the way from front to back. And its head was probably, I don't know, easy a foot long, and probably a good half a foot, you know, high. It was a big head. Didn't see any horns. So again, you know, when people say deer man, goat man, sheep man, I always used to think of horns. Didn't see any horns on this, but like I said, the hair on this thing, or the fur, was that thick that if it had small horns, I wouldn't have been able to see it. It had ear holes, sticking out ear holes, again, like a goat. The nose, the muzzle area, the end of it, like, and I don't know if its nostrils were black, but it did seem like the nostrils and the bottom lip were all black. So the front of its face was black. And it had eyes on the side of its head, like you'd expect to see on a goat, but they were bright red. You know, like, you've seen an albino rabbit with them red eyes. We used to have one, it got hit by a fox. But those red eyes, that's what this thing had. Those albino eyes. Now, I don't know whether that's common in all these creatures, or if this was an albino, because it was white, although it did have specks of grey in it, you know, patches of grey. You know, like you see on a cow, where it's got, or not, I was going to say giraffe, but not a giraffe, but you see on cows where it's got patches of different colours. You think of the Frisian, yeah? This is what this kind of had, but obviously in fur, not in its skin, which probably, if you shaved it, its skin would probably be patchy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looked at me. We made eye contact for a few seconds, and it was sort of cowering down, and it was doing that. It was doing the look of fuck, shit, I've been seen, and you could get that from it. There's just no getting around. It's like walking, you know, into your garden. There's someone in your garden that shouldn't be in your garden, and they give you that look of fuck. You know what I mean? That's what this thing was doing. There's no getting around it. It was conveying to me, shit. Not, you know, I'm going to hurt you, I'm going to do this, none of that shit. It was just literally saying, shit, I've been spotted. Yeah. So it was more worried about it than me. You know, it was worried. But, yeah, that's fairly interesting, but the weirdest thing about it, I should say, that'll be more, you know, way to explain it is that your brain, when you see this, because you know, like people say, why don't you take a picture? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you stop? Why didn't I fucking stop? Why didn't I stop?
Yeah.
Even when I seen it, why didn't I reverse back? I know I'm on an A road and, you know, the traffic's going, trying to go at 70 mile an hour behind me and all that, but I can't remember if there's anybody around me. I can't remember if there's any other cars in the vicinity. I can't remember. All I remember is seeing it and my mind telling me it's a goat. Not a goat, it's a deer. In fact, I'll tell you what my brain said it was a pony, because that's the only thing I can liken the colour to, the grey. You know, like you might see a grey pony.
Yeah.
I might have seen one once. That's the only thing my brain could tell me that was the colour of it. Incidentally, when I got home and that, because again, my brain was still trying to reconcile what it's seen. And even though I knew what I'd seen, my brain's still telling me, and it's a really weird feeling. Because your brain's telling you, it's not that, it's not that, it's this, it's that, it's that. And it's trying to fucking find a thing that matches what you've just seen. And it can't.
Yeah.
But it's going into overdrive. And you're asleep at the wheel, essentially. Your brain's doing this shit, and you can't do anything about it. You know what I mean? Obviously, my subconscious is probably driving the vehicle at that point. But the conscious brain is just fucking gone. It's lost its shit. Which is really weird if you've just seen a weird animal.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They'll have that effect on you. But anyway, I got home and I was looking at reindeers and things like that to try and get that colour in, because some reindeer are grey. But if you look at their fur, it's really short. I know maybe in the winter it gets a bit longer, but nothing like what this thing was. And again, it didn't have antlers or anything like that. And the legs on this thing were not reindeer legs. They were built for power. I would say this thing can leap. If you said to me, can that thing leap 12 foot in the air? I'd say absolutely it can. Those legs were that powerful. You know what I mean? The size of them. Mm. It's not just built for running, that. That's built for leaping.
That's built for getting away from...
Fast, yeah. Yeah. And incidentally, because some of the reports I've taken from town, one of the guys said, or a couple of guys that seen this one in Wilsey Woods, they said it was bounding away from them like a kangaroo.
That would explain that.
Yeah, that's exactly how the motion. And I've seen those legs on this thing, and I thought, well, yeah, kangaroo. You know, someone might say, well, it was a wallaby or something like that. We do have wallabies in the UK, before anybody says. We know that. In North East, they've got a wallaby farm, haven't they?
Yeah.
And the Soutines escape. Now, this is Winchester.
I'd say they're not native to here.
No, not native, no, by any means. But they do get escape quite regular from up there. But this is nowhere near the North East.
No, they do have them in zoos and things like that.
Oh, yeah, of course they do. But in Cleveland, they've got a wallaby farm, and they regular escape up there. But again, wallabies are what? 4 foot tall?
Yeah.
They're not big either. You know, kangaroo can be like 8 foot tall, can't it? I mean, they're fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, they are.
But they're brown. Wallabies are grey. But again, they don't have fur. Not like this.
No, but they may, in this country, have adapted to that.
What, and grown another... 4 foot.
Well, yeah, maybe not the height wise.
Yeah,
but I don't really know. It's a weird one.
The build of this would be would be, apart from the feet, because I never saw, you know, when you see a kangaroo, they've got massive feet, haven't they?
Mm.
I didn't see feet like that. If it had hooves, like people describe it having hooves, absolutely, I could go with that, because that's kind of what fitted it.
Yeah.
But the closest animal you could describe it to is a big kangaroo. That's the shape of this thing, apart from it's just massive, bulkiness to it. Its chest was a barrel. It wasn't a...
Have you not seen some of these kangaroos that are, like, ripped as fuck?
Oh, yeah, but this is... I mean, this was a barrel chest on this. This wasn't, like, a ripped chest. This was a massive stock. If you'd walked up, you wouldn't have got your arms around it.
Mm.
That's the size of this thing, its chest. Again, its legs were, you know, ridiculous. But again, you know, what can you say? It was there, in broad daylight, just in the middle of nowhere. But it just shows you, if you keep your eyes open...
Yeah.
Keep your head on a swivel. You know, when you're going through these forested areas and that, then you might see something strange. But anyway, that's it in a nutshell, so.
Yeah. It's interesting. Definitely interesting. I say it's not something I can say I've ever seen. It's not something I... Yeah. I still can't wrap my head around the description, but... I suppose it's one of them ones that you're not going to really understand until you actually...
see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, seeing is believing with that. I mean, I didn't... I'm not saying I didn't believe in them, because I did, because too many people who don't give a shit about this know stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't care about this. They're not interested in it. They're not dedicated their lives to go and find them. They've just seen it, reported it, and moved on. Those people that... If you was to talk about it, they would take the piss out of you. They're the sort of people that end up seeing it. You know, there's someone that we know fairly well the other day who doesn't believe in this stuff absolutely categorically. It's bullshit, right? When you try and explain to them about Bigfoot and the evidence of Bigfoot, then they'll just keep going on about angels. But people report angels. It's not the same,
no. Right?
But they don't believe it. And then they're out and about with friends and they see a dog man. Hunkered down trying to sleep.
Yeah.
In the middle of a forest. And that was broad daylight. So, you know, they don't believe in this. Even now, when they're seeing what they've seen, but they still won't accept it.
Yeah.
You know, which is weird. But again, I can understand, because, like, my brain wouldn't have it. But just on this... alien situation, before I forget, Jack Vallée, obviously, you know, he's well known in the UFO field. He wrote a book called Passport to Magonia, and in that book he recants a story that was written by a French Liberian, the name of Anton LaRouche de Lincy. Alright, and this book was about elves.
Right.
But it says, if a mortal being dares to come near them and they open their mouth, they are struck by a breath which escapes from it. Well, in this case, it says that the person is poisoned and dies. But it's interesting that we get this in a book about elves, a very similar thing to what this guy was, this machine was operating, this vapor.
Weird, isn't it?
Yeah, and back in 1836, if someone saw a machine that was emitting vapour, would they say it was an elf?
Don't know.
Quite possible. What else could they say? They couldn't say alien.
Oh, they wouldn't have the knowledge of it, would they?
So
I don't know. Really don't know. It's very strange.
So elves.
Yeah.
There is...
UFOs. Alien. So we've covered quite, you know, we've not been here for 3 weeks and we've covered pretty much the whole spectrum.
Yeah. But again, if there's anybody out there that's seen either these sorts of creatures, a UFO, an elf, a dog man, a goat man, a deer man, a sheep man, a Bigfoot.
A man.
Particularly in the UK, I'm really interested. We don't have Bigfoots, we have wild men. And they are very different to what goes on in America. Very, very different.
Yes.
Their approach and everything about it. And again, we're going to touch on this soon. I think we'll do a show on the UK Wild Man. But if anyone's seen any of that, then please, 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 please get in touch. Go on to Facebook. Find us on there, Bizarre Tales. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, because that helps. massively. You know, you don't have to always send us money and all that stuff. Well, good job, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, you subscribe to the podcast. That helps us out massively. If you can, go across to YouTube, type in Bizarre Tales Podcast. Our YouTube will come up. Join that, because these episodes that we record, we will try and record them live on YouTube.
Yeah,
so
we are.
So if you're available and we're recording at the same time you're available, obviously be able to watch us record it and get your questions in.
Yeah, you know, and then we will try and put like a schedule up on on Facebook.
It's very difficult with the schedule at work at the minute, but
isn't it just?
Obviously, you'll get notified when we go live if you do the bell thing and all that. If you're on our Facebook group, we'll tell you if we're going to go live that day. We'll tell you, but you'll get notified if you can jump on with us and you've got a question. So say we're talking about like this, and you say, "Oh, I heard a story like this from such and place." Then tell us, and we can.
Yeah,
you know, we'll obviously get that thing. Or if you've got a question, you know, like, you know, what did this do? What did that do? What did it? You know, what did that thing smell like? That gas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Never heard him say that actually. I don't think anyone asked him, but
well,
maybe it's in the book.
He even knows if he passed out.
But yeah. So get yourself to the YouTube. Anything else?
YouTube, Facebook, PayPal.
Yeah. obviously. Well, better than that, if you go to the description and click the link for our shop, you will see our Grimbarian t-shirts, Grimbarian clothing. Obviously, it's not just t-shirts, it's hoodies, clothes, t-shirts, obviously clothes, shorts.
Yeah, there's
all
loads
sorts
in
of
there.
Fucking shit in there. So
we're working on a bikini range, so if anyone wants to
absolutely.
Model that for us, yeah.
So if you haven't already, I know a lot of you have.
No,
so
Will,
please
we don't
go
want
check
money.
That out. even if you know, you might not buy anything, but go and check it out. Please check it out. I think there's something on there for everyone.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Pretty much,
unless you're woke.
Yeah,
I and like you can. They don't listen to our show anyway, so
yeah. Well, it's not for the oak. It's anti-woke.
It is
definitely.
Very anti-woke.
But go.
So.
Obviously, you can find us on Facebook at Grimbarian Clothing.
Yes.
You know. Yeah. So that's the easiest way to do it. If you go to the Bizarre Tales podcast,
that's a good way to support us as well. Because
yeah, well,
you get something out of it. You know,
yeah.
with Patreon, it's more transactional. This is,
you know, it's our t-shirts, our designs.
The
Again,
money goes to us.
If you go
profits.
And check the t-shirts out, and you want this logo in a certain color on a certain color t-shirt, that kind of shit, you let me know within 10 minutes. It's up. It's live.
Yeah,
you
we
go
can
and buy
adjust
it
for
it. No problem. You
absolutely.
Could do that. You know, if you want a certain slogan, Adam, whatever you want,
yeah.
Just let us know and we can do it. We can literally, you know, it's yeah. ours. We can do what yeah. we want. So, you know, please go check it out. The link will be in the description. But if not, you know, if you're on listening on Spotify, things like that, and obviously
yeah.
you can't get to the link very easy, then just look for
Grimbarian.
Our Facebook group, which is Grimbarian Clothing, yeah. or go to the Bizarre Tales podcast and group on Facebook, and the link will be in there.
Yeah.
So, easy way to find it. Check it out. Buy something. Help us out for Christmas.
Mm.
God bless you and all that good shit. And
God save the king.
Him as well.
Yeah.
And we'll the reptile. And we'll see you on...
David Icke.
We'll see you on the other side.
Well, they've gone. No, just for now. It wasn't the right time for us to meet. But there'll be other nights... Other stars for us to watch. They'll be back.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. 5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.